Into the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, my son made an observation this morning. He said, well, what, the Bengals lose a football game and nobody comes to church? Don't know. Or it might be that there's an inch of snow and we haven't had that yet this year. Which is amazing. We have family in Lubbock, Texas, and they've been digging out all winter. It couldn't happen to nicer people. It is the normal thing when we see someone that has great things for us to, I don't know, desire those things, to maybe want to be in their place, or somehow want what they want. If one person wins lottery next Wednesday, which is at this time predicted to be $1.35 billion, if one person wins that, I think a lot of people are going to be envious of that one person. In fact, I would venture to say they had better get a group of people around them to keep them safe very quickly. And they probably shouldn't let anyone know that they've won. They probably shouldn't let me know that they've won either. I promise I will tithe on that money. If I win the $1.35 billion, we will have new carpeting. But it is normal for us to envy what people have, to desire what they possess. Whether it be wealth, whether it be power, whether it be good looks or charm or a particular gift. You see the people that come on American Idol, this is its last season, and they get up there and they sing just as loud and as strong as they can. And some of them are so convinced that they are good, and I'm like, this surely is a joke. Has no one ever been honest with this person and just said, you can't sing? I would love to go on American Idol and get the golden ticket. And I can tell you, if I got a golden ticket going on American Idol, it would say across the front, Comedy Club. So I get to go to Hollywood, but to be a comedian, because clearly, I cannot sing. But yes, it would be nice to be able to. It would be nice to possess those things. Tish and I, last year, when we were earning money for their trip to Uganda, we were working at a shopping center, and we're pulling weeds. We are covered in dirt, and I kid you not, at least 12 or 15 Lamborghinis pull up in the parking lot of this stupid little shopping center in the middle of nowhere. What? 15 Lamborghinis are in this parking lot, and we're standing there. I think, yes, the Ortizes were there, I think, and the Carters were there, and I think a few of, I think John was there, and some others, and Tish was there, and we're sitting here going, really? There was more money in that parking lot than we would ever see in our bank account. And it was just amazing. And the funny thing was, they were eating at this little rundown restaurant, and it's like, what is going on in that restaurant? Is there something that they serve that makes people all of a sudden drive a Lamborghini? You know, what is it about what's going on? What are we missing? And I looked it up on the internet because one of them had a license plate that gave a clue, and so I looked it up. And there's apparently a philanthropic Vietnamese organization. And they all apparently drive Lamborghinis. And so I don't know who they philanthropize, but definitely themselves. Envy is a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. And it's joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. So it's a resentful thing. It's like, oh, I am so mad they are living that life. And yet it's a desire to live it also. Or maybe a desire to live it instead of. We've heard this thing, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. And if you ever watch these shows like Snapped, where you have someone who will actually murder someone else, murder their spouse, so they can go live a life of joy and contentment with this other person. This envy or resentment, it is a sin. And you can usually tell when something is sinful because it causes someone to do something against the expressed will of God. If something is sinful, like envy, it can easily cause someone to do something that is against the expressed will of God. I want money. I like money. Everybody likes money. You want more money, you go into a bank, they have lots of money in banks. You take a bank book and you make a withdrawal, you walk out with money, assuming you have money in that bank. You walk in with a gun because you don't have an account at that bank, you've robbed a bank. But people do it every day. And you think, they catch these people all day long. What makes them think that they can go in and just rob a bank? And this is what makes that happen. It's envy. Proverbs 31:31-32 says this, "Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence." God loves a person who gets what they have honestly. A person who steals and lies and cheats and gets things in a dishonest way, the Bible says, is an abomination. Period. So you lie, you steal, you cheat, you rob a bank, you do something dirty to get what you want. The Bible says you've become an abomination to God. That's a huge word, an abomination. Why would that be so big? Well, here's the thing. God says, in fact, one of God's names is provider. I am your provider. God says, I will provide for all of your needs. He says, don't worry about where you go to sleep. Don't worry about food. If you belong to me, I will take care of you. Do people get hungry? Yes. Do people have difficult times? Do they find themselves homeless? Yes. God provides if we trust in Him. So envy is one of those things that says, you know, I like what God provides and I appreciate His providence. I want more. It's not being content with where God has us. It's not being satisfied with what God wants for us. It's wanting something more. Everyone here has been in a situation where they wanted something more. They wanted something different than what God had provided. For when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12:10. When someone is gaining off of us, someone has lied or cheated or stolen off of us, or somehow gains a fair advantage and we have lost out in that deal, it's all the worse. I'll give you an example of this. I went to a yard sale one time, and there was nothing but junk at this yard sale. I knew there was nothing but junk at this yard sale because I knew the people having the yard sale. And that's okay, but I walked up and I'm looking around at all their junk, being polite. I was, after all, in high school. My mother was a collector of dishes. What are the name of those dishes? Fiestaware, the original Fiestaware. And I was at this place, and this cat was eating out of this ugly bowl. But I recognized that bowl. I said, I would like to buy the bowl your cat is eating out of. How much for the bowl? 50 cents. I'll pay 50 cents for that bowl. I sold that bowl for $50. I recognized that bowl. I've looked at Fiestaware catalogs all my life. I knew exactly what that bowl was. I didn't even have to turn it over and look at it. What I knew is no animal, especially a cat, should be allowed to eat out of a $50 bowl. So I bought it. Did I take unfair advantage of the person? No. I mean, that is capitalism at its best. But given that they were friends of the family, I might have said something like, you know, that bowl is worth a lot of money. And before I would let my cat eat out of it, I would at least take it to an antique store and offer to sell it, because they'll give you a lot of money for it. But I didn't. I bought the bowl, and then I took it to an antique store, and I sold it, and I got a lot of money for it. Had they known, can you imagine how they would have felt? And it often works out that from time to time, we will make a mistake, sell something, maybe sell a stock just before it goes through the roof, or sell something that now we look back and say, wow, I didn't realize it was that valuable when I sold it. We hear about it all the time, people at yard sales selling something only to find out that the purchaser somehow knew that it was of great value. Can you imagine the feeling of anger and bitterness of that? And yet, it falls into the same category of somehow not being satisfied with where we are, with what we have already. 2 Corinthians 12:10, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When we are willing to be satisfied with whatever is, in our greatest weakness, God is our strength. If we are satisfied, and this is Paul saying, for the sake of Christ, not because I enjoy it, for the sake of Christ, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, with calamities. For the sake of Christ, I am satisfied with that because when I am weak, when I am hit with those things, then I am strong. And Paul says, now, it is for the sake of Christ. I'm not satisfied with those things when I make a mistake and so now I'm being ridiculed, or when I make a misstep and now I'm being persecuted, or when I'm playing the fool or have done something wrong and suffering that. That's no fun. That doesn't strengthen me. But when for the sake of Christ, when I'm sharing the gospel, when I'm living His word, when I'm doing what He has asked me to do, and for that I am suffering, then I am made strong. Not because I am strong, but because He is strong through me. Proverbs 3:33-34 says this, "The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners He is scornful, but to the humble He gives favor." Have you ever found yourself thinking, I could do something, well, it might be a little dishonest, but I mean, it's all how you look at it. It's kind of a gray area. Well, of course, nobody in here would ever do that. But in the world in general, what we find ourselves is daily in a situation where we're looking at, what can I do to put us a little bit above of where we're at right now? And there are a number of things. Is saving money an evil thing? No. Cutting coupons is good. I know people, and even Tish has done this from time to time, where she's taken her coupons in, and there's a lady at Kroger she refers to as the coupon Nazi, because she looks at every specific date. And sometimes they'll do things like, you can have double coupons, and she won't give them. She's like, no. And it's like, you have to give them. No, I don't. And, you know, and of course you have to go through all this trouble. It's just a major pain when all we're trying to do is save a little bit of money off the grocery bill. Those things are legal. Coupons are a good thing. They hand those things out like candy. Come buy more of our stuff and save some money. By the way, can you ever save money buying something? I love that. Save a lot of money. No, give me more of your money. That's what they're saying. You want to save money? Don't shop. That's saving money. Getting a good deal is still spending money. And we look at the things we can do if we could just get a little bit ahead of where we are. And it's not easy. Life is hard. But the Bible says, if you work hard and you do what you're supposed to do, if you find ways to save money or make money or to get a little bit ahead, that's fine. And he says, but if you do it in a way that is illegal or immoral, then God says simply this, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked. That's a very strong statement. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Even though sometimes we look, you know, they just caught El Chapo, and you remember if you ever seen pictures of El Chapo's house when he wasn't arrested? He's got this unbelievable house. And you look at the majority of people living in Mexico, and so many of them are living in squalor, and so many of them are righteous, and so we see God's blessing is on the house of the righteous, but they're living in mud huts. Tish and I have been down there and built their houses and built their toilets. And we're like, this is God's blessing, and that's His curse? Maybe I want God's curse. May it never be. Instead, sometimes the blessing of God looks like the world's curse. Sometimes the blessing of God is hard to see, hard to understand. Sometimes the blessing of God looks like pain or sickness or death or poverty. Sometimes His blessings are cloaked in curses. And sometimes the inverse is also true. Keep your life, Hebrews 13:5, from the love of money. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with what you've got because God says He is with you all the time. If God is with us all the time, then being content shows our trust in God. And we talk about Paul, and I'll tell you, Paul suffered for the Lord. They all did. I wouldn't have wanted to live in 33 AD for any amount of money. You think about your daily conveniences. They didn't have refrigerators. If you were eating, you were never sure what you were putting in your mouth. Unless you killed that animal yourself, you had no idea when or where or how that animal died. If you were drinking, especially water, you did not know if that water was good or if it was going to make you sick. There were no filtrations. There were no actual bathrooms. In the Roman capitals there were. The kings in them had actual toilets that had actual water in them. But everybody else, sanitation was bad. Eating was bad. Drinking was bad. Very few comforts. There were no silly posturpedics. You slept on the ground or maybe on a pile of leaves. You wore scratchy, itchy clothes. You would not have been bathing. Ladies, your hair, not pretty. And the only thing worse was the smell, because people stunk or stank. Stunk, stank. They didn't smell good. Tommy Hilfiger had no... Back then, you smelled bad. Ring around a rosy, a pocket full of posies. They carried around flowers just so they could smell something sweet, because the people around them smelled so sour. Nothing about those days was pleasant. Then you take Paul and Peter. Now, Peter ended up a lot of times in trouble because of his big mouth. Paul ended up in trouble mostly because he only spoke the truth. He ended up in jail. He ended up in jails that had water on the floor so deep. There were rats and roaches and diseases of all kinds. There was no sanitation in those prisons. He ended up floating out in the middle of the ocean, bitten by snakes, stoned, beaten, and scourged, all for the sake of Jesus Christ. And he said, I have learned to be content in all situations because where I am, He is with me. And if He's okay with where I am, then who am I to complain? I have to tell you, I have not reached that level yet. Because being uncomfortable sometimes is just uncomfortable. But when my air conditioning goes out in July, I don't sit there and say, well, clearly God wanted to sit in heat, so I'm content with that. Generally, I'm saying something like, God, unless you want someone to join you in heaven, they had better fix my AC, or I'm going to send someone to be with you. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Philippians 4:11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation. Now notice what he says. I am to be content. He doesn't say, I like every situation. He says, I've learned that in whatever situation I'm in, I'm supposed to be content in that situation. That's because that's where God wants me at that moment. He doesn't say, boy, I can handle anything. Being in that situation, being in that predicament, I can be content in anything. What he said is, I have learned that I'm supposed to be content in every situation. That doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that he enjoys it. Do you know there's a difference between contentment and joy? Contentment and happiness? You can be content and not be particularly happy with it. Contentment can be, I can live with this. I don't like it, but I can live with it. I can deal with this. That's contentment. Contentment can be, hey, I can be content with $1.3 billion. Can you all join me in being content with $1.3 billion? Do you know if you took $1.3 billion and paid it to the government, it wouldn't even touch the national debt? Isn't that sad? That's a lot of money. Proverbs 3:35 says this. Or not. Turn with me to Proverbs 3:35, and it will say this. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. The wise will inherit honor, but the fools get disgrace. Literally, we have a responsibility to be content in whatever situation God has us. And when we're not content with that, and we decide we want something better, I put that in quotation marks, because you will never be better off than being in the center of God's will. But when we decide that that's not good enough, we've entered the land of envy. And the definition of envy, if you remember, is simply this. It is a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. A painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. Hating someone because of what they have and wanting to have the same thing. Someone asked me, well, is it possible, Pastor, to be envious in a good way? A painful or resentful awareness. in the vernacular, it's absolutely possible. When someone writes me, I was telling the kids, I have an aunt that lives in Aruba. When there is snow in my driveway, I am envious of my aunt in Aruba. Not that it's painful or that I'm resentful, but gee, wouldn't it be nice to be laying on a white sandy beach in Aruba instead of shoveling snow in Cincinnati? But my family is in Cincinnati. There's always this trade-off. So yes, there can be an envy that's kind of a silly little envy. But true envy is saying, yes, I want that so much that I'm willing to leave the center of God's will to get it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at what it takes to seek after that which you would not want us to have, nothing is worth the price of being out of the center of your will. Father, we pray that in our hearts we would learn to be content with whatever circumstance, with whatever life brings our way at any given time. Father, that our eyes would be set on you, knowing that if you are with us, our needs will be met as long as we stay in the center of your will. Father, it's hard to look at a world that has so many wonderful things in it and not to be envious. When we're sick, not to be envious of the well. When we're poor, not to be envious of the rich. When, whatever the circumstance, the better of that circumstance, according to the world's standards, is all around us for us to see. Father, we pray that instead we would learn to be content with what you have given us, that as long as we're in the center of your will doing what you've asked and required of us, that we should be content because where we are, you are with us. Father, we pray for those that couldn't be with us this morning. We know that the snow has fallen on Cincinnati and blanketed many people into their homes. We pray that you would encourage their hearts throughout the week, that you would love them and build them up. For those watching over the internet, that you would be with them as well. Truly, you are an awesome God. We thank you for all of these things. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.